Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Today, nations are conspiring to dethrone the Lord, and they want nothing of His ways. However, the day will come when all nations will come to the mountain of the Lord and worship the God of Jacob. The reign of Jesus Christ on the earth will be the joy of all nations, because He is the only one that can heal a nation. Please open your Bible to Psalm 67 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of Psalm 67 and 68.
He poured out His love, His forgiveness of sin.
Psalm 67 is written to the chief musician on Neginoth. It's a psalm or a song. The word Neginoth is a proper name for stringed instruments. And once again, we see with this title that this particular psalm was given to the musician, or we would say the worship leader or the worship team, and they would put this together, and it was a song to be sung. And it's amazing how the mind remembers things that are contained in songs. And this was one of the ways that the people of God would remember the works of God. And it begins in verse 1, God be merciful unto us, and He has through Christ, and bless us, and He has through Christ, and cause His face to shine upon us. Now, the expression cause His face to shine upon us is a picture of God's tender mercies that are being shown to His people. The priestly prayer in Numbers 6, beginning of verse 24, is, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make, here it is, His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And when the psalmist here says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us, he gives a pause, a time to think about that, about the mercy of God, about the blessing of God, about the favor of God. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 16, verse 15, we read, in the light of the king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. My prayer for you watching tonight is that the Lord would bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you, that His countenance would be upon you, and that He would give you peace. Now, in verse 2, we find why the psalmist says what he says in verse 1. Notice, why does he pray that God's face would be upon His people? That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health upon all nations. The psalmist desired God's blessing upon his people, that all nations would know of his saving power. In the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, we see how God called Abraham, or Abram, pardon me, in order to bless him and his descendants, through whom the blessing would be given to all nations of the world. And of course, we know that that blessing would be manifested in the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the way that is to be known upon the earth? Who is thy saving health among all nations? Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus Christ is the saving health of the nations. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. He's the only one that can heal an individual, heal a nation. And he is the one that we look to tonight. Verse 3. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah, stop, pause, and think about that. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all people praise thee. In verses 3 through 5, we see that the reign of God as king is going to be the joy of the nations. And many scholars look at these verses and they see the millennial kingdom and how all nations will gather together and praise the name of the Lord and sing for joy. The purpose of world evangelism and missions is that all nations would come to know and worship the true and living God. And I believe that it is significant that the singular command that Jesus Christ gave before he ascended up on high was the command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, to every nation. I thought about that. The command of Christ, what you and I come to know as the Great Commission, which is a commission for every believer, for everyone who is in Christ, is given the armor of God, and our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. When Jesus ascended up on high, he knew the end from the beginning. He knew every crisis that the church would face. He knew every disaster that would come upon this earth. And it is so easy to become crisis-driven and disaster-driven, or crisis-conscious or disaster-conscious, when Jesus said the answer to this crisis, to this disaster, is the gospel. As we saw in Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, there is going to come a time, and I have no doubt that it is happening right in our lifetime, that the nations have conspired to dethrone the Lord. They want none of his ways, but the day will come when all the nations, Isaiah 2 says, will come to the mountain of the Lord and worship the God of Jacob. Then, in verse 6, shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. The psalm may have been sung in the celebration of the harvest at the Feast of Pentecost. Charles Stanley writes this: we would not plant seeds and then return the following day, anticipating them to be fully developed into vegetables. We understand such expectations are unreasonable. When it comes to God's blessings, this is often what we think must happen. Yet, his best blessings take time to mature. So it is wise for us to wait patiently, knowing he works on behalf of those who wait for him. God shall bless us, verse 7, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. And the prayer that we see in this psalm is actually the Old Testament equivalent of "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," as our beautiful Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Until the Lord reigns in Jerusalem, there can be no peace on earth. You and I can have a peace that passes understanding, but there will be no universal peace till he sets up his kingdom on earth. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. To fear God means to hold him and his word in reverence. And the fear of God is one of the core values of the Christian life. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's that place of surrender to Christ. How we need the fear of God in our lives. And we live on a planet where there is an absence of the fear of the living God. Psalm 68, to the chief musician, a psalm or song of David. And once again, we see David, how he was gifted as a musician, as a songwriter. And here is a song that is given to the chief musician, something written by David. And it is believed to be a dedicatory psalm that was penned by David after he pitched a tent for the ark that he had brought back from the house of Obed-Edom there in 2 Samuel chapter 6. This psalm is a messianic psalm, but it's also what is known as a processional hymn that was usually sung by bands of white-robed priests and Levites. And so it begins in verse 1 with the declaration, "Let God arise, let his enemies be scattered. Let them also that hate him flee from him." This is the same phrase Moses used in Numbers 10:35 as the people set out for the promised land. Let God arise and let his enemy be scattered. Pastor John Corson writes so beautifully, "The key to overcoming the enemy is to bring God into the situation. After all, if you walk into a dark room, you don't curse the darkness or command the darkness to flee. You just turn on the light. The light of the Lord will naturally dispel the darkness of wickedness." How, practically speaking, does God arise in our lives? Believe when we worship him in spirit and in truth, when we commune with him in prayer, when we read his word, when we praise him, his song. And tonight, for each and every one of you that are watching, may God arise and may the enemies be scattered. Beloved, let God arise in your life tonight. And as you do, his enemies will scatter. As smoke is driven away, so drive them, the enemies of God, away. As wax melteth before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But, let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Oh, what a word in season. Rejoice. Be glad. Rejoice exceedingly. Verses 2 and 3 reveal a two-edged promise. to the wicked, those who reject God's covenant by grace through faith in Jesus Christ will perish before him. To the righteous, those who embrace the covenant by grace through faith in Jesus Christ shall be glad, because God is carrying out his purpose of reversing the effects of sin in the world. And God is carrying out his purpose right now. We don't praise for victory. We don't pray for victory. We praise from victory. We pray from victory. And because Jesus Christ has defeated the enemies of sin and Satan and death, you and I, as the people of God, can rejoice exceedingly with great gladness before our Lord. Oh, beloved, joyfully praise the Lord with your whole heart. Look at verse 4. Sing unto God. We don't sing to ourselves. We sing unto God. We sing praises to him. The word extol means to lift up. Lift him up. Lift him up that rideth upon the heavens by his name Yah, and rejoice before him. The Bible tells us to sing unto him a new song. Sing unto him psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our heart to the Lord. Yah is a shortened form of the divine name Jehovah, as in the last symbol of Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Other names for God in this psalm, well, Elohim in verse 1, Lord or Adonai in verse 11, the Almighty in verse 14, the Lord God in verse 18, God the Lord in verse 20, and King in verse 24. All of these titles of our God, Elohim, Adonai, Almighty, Lord God, God the Lord, the King, sing to him, sing to him. A father of the fatherless and a judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation. Maybe some of you watching tonight were an orphan. Maybe some of you are watching tonight and your father is no longer with you here on earth. The Lord God is a father of the fatherless. And maybe some of you are widows tonight or widowers tonight. He's there for you. Throughout Scripture, we see that God has a special commitment to those who are defenseless, like the widows and the fatherless. And what does he do to those people? God sets the solitary in families. He bringeth out those which are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. God sets or puts the solitary in families. When Jesus called the multitudes to a full commitment to him, he said in Matthew 19:29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. In other words, God has designed the church to be a greater family. You know, in the natural realm, in the biological realm, blood is thicker than water. But in the spiritual realm, and many of you know what I'm talking about, the spirit is even thicker than blood. God puts us in families. The church is to be a family. The book of Ephesians talks about the whole family that is named in heaven and on earth. But notice, the rebellious dwell in a dry land. I think of those who died in the wilderness rather than entering Canaan. He brings out those which are bound with chains. In the Gospel of John, we read, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And tonight, whether you're bound with the chains of addiction, or the chains of depression, or the chains of regret, or the chains of fear, the Lord has come to set you free. But if you insist on rebelling against him, you're going to experience drought in your soul. Oh God, when you went forth before thy people, when thou didst march through the wilderness, Selah, the earth shook, the heavens also dropped at the presence of God. Even Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Sinai is the mountain where God gave the law to Moses. And it was accompanied by an awesome display of power. We read about that in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 16 through 19. But something that I want us to grasp here, David is remembering the history of his people. He's gleaning from the scriptures the very same thing that you and I have in our hand tonight. And I think that there is a wonderful message for us. How encouraging it is to read the scriptures, particularly when you're feeling down or feeling like life is against you or what has happened to God or those times where we simply do not understand what is going on. It's always encouraging to read the scriptures until God speaks to your heart. And as you're reading, remember how God worked in the lives of his people in the past. And even though what we read about here was long before David's time, and even though David hadn't seen or experienced it, he drew encouragement from God's mighty work in the past. He writes, thou, O God, did send a plentiful rain of manna and quail. We read about that in Psalm 78, verses 24 and 27. Whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. When they were weary, God sent to them manna. He sent to them provision. Thy congregation hath dwelt therein. Thou, O God, hast prepared of thy goodness for the poor. Really, verses 7 through 10, dear ones, are a recollection of God's march through the wilderness from Sinai to the promised land. God is good. That's one of the foundational truths that we must embrace in our hearts tonight, beloved. God is good. He's good. The psalmist would say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. And for his wonderful works towards the children of men. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless
his holy, his wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts, and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.